Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to be reviewing the 30th week in Ordinary Time. And before we do that, we are going to offer our prayer, which, because it's still the month of October, we're going to offer it through Mary. And today's prayer is the prayer of consecration to the Blessed Virgin. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. O Mary, Virgin most powerful and Mother of Mercy, Queen of Heaven and Refuge of Sinners, we consecrate ourselves to your Immaculate Heart. We consecrate to you our very being and our whole life, all that we have and all that we love, all that we are. We give you our bodies, hearts, and souls, our homes, families, and countries. We desire everything in and around us to belong to you and to share in the benefits of your motherly blessing through them. In order that this act of consecration may be truly effectual and lasting, today we renew at your feet the promises made at our baptism and First Communion. We pledge that we will courageously and unceasingly profess the truths of the Holy Catholic Faith, and to live lives that befits us as Catholics who are duly submissive to the direction of the Magisterium under the Pope and the bishops who are in communion with him. We pledge ourselves to keep the commandments of God and the Church, in particular to keep holy the Lord's Day. We pledge ourselves to make consoling practices of the Christian religion, especially of Holy Communion, as an integral part of our lives, insofar as we are able to do so. Finally, we promise you, O glorious Mother of God and loving Mother of all human beings, to dedicate ourselves with all our hearts to the service of devotion to you. Through the sovereignty of your Immaculate Heart, may we thus hasten to assure the coming of the kingdom of the Sacred Heart of your adorable Son in our own hearts, as well as all other people throughout the world, especially in our own country, so that we may experience on earth the will of God as it is in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. So today is the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings for today begin with the first reading from the book of Sirach. And it goes as follows. The Lord is a God of justice, who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God is willingly heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right. The Lord will not delay. The word of the Lord. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall always be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from their distress he rescues them. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The second reading is a reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. The Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat, and will bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting us the message of salvation. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. So we have some very good readings for this particular Sunday. And in fact, when we read through these readings, what we come to is something of an interesting note. Because first, we are given guidance on how to pray. We are told in the parable in the gospel today that there were two men who were praying. One looked to himself and his righteousness, and the other looked to God and his mercy. The one that prayed with his head held high listed the many sacrifices he had made for the Lord and separated himself from sinners. We can see this a lot in the Word of Faith camp when they talk about being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. While there's some truth to that, the main point is not that we promote our righteousness, but that we truly are humble before the Lord and realize that we have fallen. Because this is what the other one did. He had his eyes and head was bowed, and he acknowledged his own sinfulness and continued to beg for God's mercy. It wasn't a fear that God wasn't forgiving him, but it was a recognition of who he was. And that's where he came to. And the Lord is telling us in this particular account that the second man is the one who got exalted, whereas the first one got humbled because his prayer was offered in humility. He raised up God's name in praise and recognized his complete dependence upon God, whereas the other one was bragging about himself. And it's a reminder that we shouldn't go into a prayer closet bragging about ourselves. We should go into a prayer closet realizing what God has done for us. And this is something that I find very often that many people miss, especially when they're talking about the so-called prayer of faith. And it comes about because there's a lot of error relating to that particular topic. And the error comes about because of men who teach a false gospel about what faith really is. If you listen to men like Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, and others like that, you'll hear that they talk about faith to the point of about having faith in faith. And that's not where we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to put faith in anything other than God. When Jesus said, your faith can move mountains in Mark 11, 23, and 24, he began it in 22 with telling you to have faith in God. The example that we have of Abraham in Romans chapter 4 is that Abraham had faith in God. He knew that what God had promised, he was able also to fulfill, because he believed in a God that could call those things that be not as though they were. God was a creator. God was not somebody giving you keys to the kingdom and saying, you create now. No, that's not how faith works. That's not the whole thing. We have faith in God. Our faith is in Him who is the Creator, who brings things that be not as though they were. We aren't creating reality. We are recognizing the God who creates all reality, who is greater than all things in the world. And that's what it's all about, recognizing God. Because that's why the response psalm is telling us that the Lord hears the cry of the poor. He hears us when we are humble, when we truly realize we are nothing without God. We can do nothing without God. The last refrain of the response tells us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He is close to those who are crushed in spirit, because those are the ones He saves. You see, this is where we need to be. We should really see where we are at to truly get ourselves into the right perspective. We need to understand who we are and how empty we are without God. We are not self-sufficient. We are not greater than God. We are not the ones who do everything all by ourselves. As Jesus said when He was telling His apostles on the Last Supper that they need to abide like branches on a vine, He told them, apart from Me, you can do nothing, not a thing. But God wants to do something through you. He wants you to bear much fruit. And this is where we find that is God within us, as Philippians tells us, willing and doing His good work. He's the one motivating us by grace if we will cooperate with it. We're not supposed to be boastful. We're not supposed to be prideful, because that makes us an evildoer. Note in that second paragraph from the response psalm that the Lord confronts the evildoers. He destroys their remembrance from the earth. No one will remember an evil person forever. We may have a remembrance of men like Hitler or Stalin right now, but when it gets to eternity, nobody will think about them. There's going to be an eternity where everyone that's in hell will be forgotten about. And that's a reality. So we need to have the right perspective. We need to know who we are. And we need to really get this truly where it is. Think of the words that came from the first reading, the reading from Sirach. Because this man who wrote this book reminds us that the prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. The Lord of justice does not show favorites, but He does hear the cry of the oppressed. He's not deaf to orphans or widows who cry out to Him. In our lowliness, we are joined with all people everywhere. We dare not stand in judgment of anyone. And this is important. We don't stand in judgment of anyone. We don't judge them as wicked. And we don't judge them by holding grudges, because we learn to forgive. Here's the key to forgiveness. Stop looking to yourself and realize the mercy that comes from God. It's a hard struggle. I have that every day myself. And it's real easy to look at what other people have done that have hurt you and that have caused you some kind of pain. But if we truly understand what God has done, we can pierce the clouds. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It goes straight to the throne room of God. God hears it. He will hear your prayer if you're truly penitent. Paul displays this attitude when he forgives those who had betrayed him. And he learned how to depend on the Lord Him alone in those moments. Because he says in the second reading, at my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. How often can we look back and think about the things that we need to forgive others for not being in our corner. And this is something that goes further than just this kind of thing. We need to understand that there is a need for each one of us to forgive those who have done us wrong in some fashion. Sometimes it's merely because they deserted you. And Paul himself prays and makes this statement in 2 Timothy, may it not be held against them. And then he says, the Lord stood by him and gave him strength, showing that he didn't have anything in and of himself. It was the Lord who answered his prayer and was with him. He even goes so far as to say that the Lord rescued him from every evil threat and will keep him safe to his heavenly kingdom. So he was focused on the Lord, not on himself. And he wasn't even focused on those around him who had abandoned him. And this is the key. This is the secret to being truly what we're called to be, and to truly be able to forgive, to truly live and let live, if you will. And that's the important thing as we go forward in all of this. We need to pray for this grace of humility and to try to find the one area in our life where we most need this grace. Every one of us have a point where we're going to brag about ourselves. I mean, some of us do it by saying, oh, I'm very intelligent in this area. I understand physics. I understand mathematics. I am a real stickler for what I do as part of my job, whatever it is, whether it's being a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. And we forget to remember in those instances that we still need to depend on the Lord. I'm always reminded of Joseph being in Potiphar's house and the statement that comes from Scripture, which I think is in the 42 or something like that, one of those verses when it talks about Joseph being in Potiphar's house. And it says, the Lord was with him. See, the reason Joseph was successful and made it to Pharaoh's house was because he leaned on God when he had nothing. And in the end, he was able to forgive his brothers, as is recorded in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, because he saw God at work in the situations that he existed and went through. And this is really where we need to be. We need to understand that we need to identify ourselves with the man who prayed for the mercy of God. We need to pray the Jesus prayer and really get it into our hearts. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world, have mercy on me, a sinner. We need to repeat these words over and over and really allow these words to soak into us sometime so that we can really understand what it is to be humble. We need to pray this prayer. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world, have mercy on me, a sinner. I would recommend as you go throughout the rest of today and maybe throughout the rest of the week to pray this prayer and really let it sink in. Because if you really understand the words and really understand how God works through you, you'll understand the full message of the gospel, which is encompassed in the Alleluia refrain, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting to us the message of salvation. A message we can only live out if we are humble and look to God to be merciful unto us who are sinners. Because it's only when we lower ourselves to be sinners and focus completely on God that we truly become blessed.